Scott Pruitt, driver number 15, Lexus, prepping for the Rolex 24 for Daytona. And you're on the road with Dane, WGN.
WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And on the line with us is a guy who is looking to wrap up one of the great careers in motorsports that has taken him to IndyCar, NASCAR, Trans Am, IMSA, and closing in on a final Rolex 24 at Daytona International Speedway, where he's won five times. Excited to have the one and only Scott Pruitt. Scott, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane, how are you? Great to be here, and a lot of excitement, and it's almost a little surreal at times, but big picture is so looking forward to the race here in a couple weeks.
You still have that. You know, there's that build-up for it, and it's the kind of thing you got to focus on. And I know, I've seen some of the other interviews that you've done where you're looking forward to not maybe working out so much, certainly spending more time with family. You've got the winery. We'll talk about that. But is there, at any moments, you still have a little bit of time leading up where you're kind of thinking to yourself, hey, this is the last time. Any kind of melancholy, kind of bittersweet things going on?
No. It's the good Lord has blessed me with this incredible career. Moving into my 50th year of driving and racing. And so, for me personally, I'm excited about my next chapter, and even more excited about the Rolex 24 here in a couple of weeks. Still working hard, want to finish big, want to finish strong, just pushing, pushing hard at training over the past few months and gearing up for this last time, and not dropping the ball at all, just pushing for this last event.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be big. You've had so much success in kind of all phases of racing, had some experience, competed at the highest level, but this is your jam. The 24 Daytona, the Rolex, all that kind of stuff, five championships, going for the record here. Do you just get in there? You had so much success. It's not broken. Don't fix it. Just get in there, do what you do. You'll be successful. But does it kind of creep in that you could be making history there this year?
More than anything else, it's going to be hard to, obviously, in GT class, you can't go and win overall. I could go for, just another victory at Daytona, which we certainly would love to have. And it would be more exciting giving Lexus their first win, and most appropriately would be at the Rolex 24. And it's been, I think the thing that's been overwhelming to me the most is how many people have really reached out to me, and the support and the enthusiasm and the fans have been just unbelievable. And I think that's been more overwhelming than anything else up to this point.
Well, you're one of those kind of, great personalities of motorsport. You've touched a lot of people in a lot of the different, all those fans and in all those different series, for sure. Yeah, I remember first being introduced to you back, in the NASCAR days and maybe the late 90s. And so it's the kind of thing where you have, is it kind of that thing? It's a little overwhelming, right? People don't necessarily reach out until there's a reason. But now when it looks as though you're wrapping up the career, does it give you any kind of, I know you said no, but any kind of thought? Maybe come back and do some things occasionally. People love what it is that you do.
More than anything else, I in such a wonderful, supportive way, the fans have reached out, through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all the other social media, as well as the racetrack. I mean, just since we made that announcement, we were testing at Daytona, prepping for the race, and all the fans down there are just coming up and shaking my hand and getting a picture with me and just telling me all these wonderful stories of, man, we remembered you in IndyCar, and we were at the Indy 500 for your first race when you were Rookie of the Year there, or we remember seeing you win your first race at Pocono way back in 85, or we remember, it just goes on and on and on and on in such a wonderful, way that it's, that's more than anything else. Most certainly my peers and guys I've raced against and teammates and so on, I knew how they would feel and how they've been, so great and gracious with all their words. However, with the fans, it's been very cool, and I'm just honored.
57 years young right now, and you mentioned 5 decades racing. You'll be able to stay connected to the sport. You've got, I think Laguna Seca is close to the winery, and so you'll be able to get in there and maybe do some stuff on the broadcast side. I know some exciting developments on the brand ambassador side. You'll be able to, so much success with Lexus, and now you're getting to be kind of one of those guys to kind of carry that torch for that brand as well.
And I've truly enjoyed working for Lexus over the years. Being involved with Toyota my last year in IndyCars, giving them their first pull at Fontana, and then moving in, we were running a prototype powered by Lexus starting in 2004, the year, you know, we won our first Grand Am championship, and a lot more championships there with them, as well as overall wins at Daytona. So I've had such an incredible relationship with Lexus and group and the dealer group and across the board, and being able to go show off their cars and, you know, ride drives and dealer events and so on. And then the crossover now with Pruitt Vineyard and the culinary side that Lexus does has been a perfect fit. And when you look at what we've been able to achieve at the winery, being arguably, you know, by Wine Spectator, twice now being the highest rated Syrah in the world.
Wow.
And all that has come, you know, truly world-class wines. That's been a little unexpected, and great, and especially since I'm the winemaker there.
Oh, man.
You know, I think across the board, and a few little broadcast things and these other things, I don't think I'm going to have a hard time finding things to do.
What would be great? And, you know, on the food side, covered the personalities of the food world for many, many years, and broadcast live from Aspen Food & Wine. And of course, they have a great relationship with Lexus too. They provide all the cars that kind of drive all of the food stars around. And it would be great to see you out in Aspen this coming up June. You'll have time, right? Because you're retired.
That's right. I'm transitioning. But I think you're going to see me at more and more of those events. I'll still be in and around the racetrack, whether with Lexus or with IMSA. You know, I've had so many wonderful years with IMSA, a record 60 wins there. I think I've had, you know, I think the number is 88 professional wins between IMSA and Trans Am and IndyCar and IROC, all those great series. And more than anything else, it's been, you know, just such an incredible career looking back, and I've had so much fun to drive so many different things. And I think, as I share with my family and all the support that I've had from them growing up, while, you know, my dad's off racing or dad's off doing this, looking to spend a little more time with them as well.
Oh, we have got to, at some point in the near future, do like an interview just specifically on the wine side, because to have the success that you've had there and have it be, I don't want to say inadvertent, but a pleasant surprise, right? That's absolutely amazing. So was it the kind of thing that you'd always kind of wanted to do? There's a lot of people that maybe have a romantic attachment with a restaurant or starting something. Certainly where you live, it's a beautiful country. It's the thing to do is grow some grapes and make some wine. But was that something you always wanted to do?
No. I grew up on a ranch and was, you know, we had, you know, wheat and oats. And so I love working in the dirt. I love working with the soil. However, it's a lot more romantic doing it with wine, wine grapes. Not knowing that where we live had the opportunity to produce something as spectacular as it has. And but we did all the, you know, we did all the soil research. We did all the climate study with the best people we could find out of Napa. We're about an hour and 10, 15 minutes from downtown Napa. And they all came back and said, two thumbs up. This is a spectacular location. And so we did a lot of it, ripping and clearing and prepping and planting. And I just wanted to be able to make good wine, you know, something I could sit across the table from my friends and have a glass of wine and they wouldn't, you know, totally bust me up on it. So they, that was my goal. And then to do what we've done has been, you know, spectacular. I mean, the ratings that we continue to get year after year, and you know, again, Wine Spectator giving us, you know, in 2012 we were tied with the highest rated Syrah in the world with a winery in Australia, and then we did that in 2014, and so that has been such a wonderful, unexpected thing that has taken place, and I certainly enjoy it and embrace it.
Wow. And to be so hands-on with it as well. You know, it isn't just to be a fan of wine and then get in there with some people, you know, on the ground, slap a label on it and call it Pruitt Wine. To be involved in creating all of that stuff has got to be super, super gratifying. The one thing I wanted to ask you about, and you look back at the career, all of those great memories and memories with the fans, you look forward to the future and you're seeing some things. Racing is one of those things. There could be kids all over the place that see some of their heroes, you know, at the track or on television, think, I want to do that. It's just not that easy. It isn't, there's not a path. You can't go out for it in high school or school and those kind of things. You came up through karting and all of those things. You look at now the way that the, and even on the road course side for NASCAR, and of course raced in that series at its highest level for many years, it's just not easy to get the experience to do it. You've done it all. Now you look at the simulators and you see some of those drivers that a lot of their experience was based on the technology and the simulators and being able to kind of get that experience off the track. For the road course, have you done any of those? What's your thought on that in general, as far as drivers or people want to get in the sport, kind of getting some of the experience that they can get, you know, through the computer?
It truly is a great option and opportunity, without a doubt. And you touched on it. I mean, my parents, so supportive of me growing up, doing go-karts and then moving up from there. And then, you know, continuing on. And I think a lot of people, what they don't see in this sport, and I think it's probably more so in motorsports than others, is the fact that I've lived my life with basically 1 year at a time. For the most part, you have 1 year contracts, you know, kind of continuing 1 year contracts. So you're as good as your last contract that last season, you know. So if you were winning and putting up the numbers and doing what you need to do, then you continue on. And if not, you hadn't. So you had to do whatever you could to stay in shape and to be as sharp as you could and to learn as much as you could. And I've certainly embraced the simulator side. It's been using those for the last 10 years, just prepping and fine tuning before races and so on. And that technology continues to get better and better all the time. And so what we're seeing is just these different things as drivers where you have to go out and embrace that. And I certainly see that with the younger drivers. They grow up with that technology. And I see it being, you know, potentially just a little more difficult, let's say, for the, I'm not going to say the old drivers, but most certainly the ones that didn't grow up with that. I've embraced it from the start, believe in it, support it, think it's a great thing. And you're seeing that on the new driver, the younger drivers, especially, I shouldn't call them new, but this great young talent that's coming up that have embraced that pretty much their whole life. And having that opportunity, that's the cheapest miles that you'll ever drive, right? A race car. And to learn about that has been great.
Yeah, and to be able to kind of focus and fine-tune on problems that you have, as opposed to, you know, driving the track actually, you could probably, you know, replicate certain curves and turns and or maybe tracks that aren't easy to get to. I mean, it's just one of those things, and you hit on it too, as the technology gets better. I think it's just an incredible resource for maybe finding some of those next great drivers that are there. So you look back, you have the career, so much great stuff happening. I know that you're not going to be going anywhere. Obviously, you're going to be, you know, out there, out front for Lexus and then with the wine and all that kind of stuff. So, and even on the family side, and I read somewhere that you guys, this is crazy, I don't know where you find time to do it, but that you and your wife, you're doing some children's books, or you're actually, like, you know, helping out on that side, writing some of the, I guess, words to shape the lives of kids all over the place.
we have. That was what we were doing before the wine side, and my wife still dabbles in it, but we've written 4 children's books. The thing that we saw in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, was there were, even though the racing books that were out there, they weren't authentic. They didn't tell the right stories. They didn't tell the truth. So we've done 4 books, but really 3 books, because one was when I went from IndyCars to NASCAR. And so very much the same text, just all the characters changed. And so we've done 12 Little Race Cars, which is a countdown book, Rookie Racer, which was kind of an inspirational story, believe in your dreams, follow your heart and your dreams, and they all can come true. And then the last book that we have done is called Racing Through the Alphabet. So when we put all those together, we're self-published because we didn't want to lose any of the authenticity of what racing is. We wanted to control what the graphics and what the text looks like across the board, because it was so important for my wife and I, and she's the one who really spearheaded it, to keep everything as authentic as it absolutely could be. And that's been such a wonderful part of my history and what we've done, and one I'm really, truly proud of.
It's great stuff, and it's great that you're sharing so much of what it is that you do. You've always been one of those truly great personalities of motorsport, a great advocate and an ambassador for it. And I know for all those fans who are going to miss you on the track, they're going to get some Scott Pruitt in a bunch of different ways. In some glasses, some of the best wine in the world, and of course on the book side. And I know you're going to be out there a big part of a lot of the stuff happening off the track of the race as well. So if people want to keep up with you as best they can, all your adventures, find out what it is you're doing, visit you, get in on the wine side as well. Is there a website where people can go to?
There is. You can go to scottpruitt.com, very simple. You can go to pruittvineyard.com. Both have links to each other. And I got to give a shout out. You know, everybody's used to hi to my family at home.
Nice.
That memorable, this all started with my kids who thought I was inside the TV. And has gone far beyond any of my expectations as well. So it's been truly, you know, incredible, wonderful, spectacular career, and I am, again, so, you know, the good Lord's blessed me every step of the way. You know, in this sport, you can get truly hurt, and, you know, everything we've done has been just absolutely so wonderful.
Well, bless you. Good luck with everything coming up at Daytona. As you say hi to the family at home, it's one last time for all of your fans to say, you know, one big collective hi and farewell to you as far as just wrapping up the career. But the future is so, so, so bright. People are excited for that, and I know and I can hear that you are as well. So, Scott, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on WGN today.
Absolutely. Love catching up with you, and whenever you want to talk about wine, love to chat about it. Thank you so much for having me on.